Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Tim Clinton for the James Dobson Family Institute. From now till the end of 2018, any donation you give will be doubled, thanks to a special friend of our ministry. Learn more about our ministry and our end-of-year matching grant at drjamesdobson.org. Thank you for your continued prayers and support.
Hello, everyone. This is Roger Marsh. Thank you for listening to this Family Talk broadcast. I'm excited you've joined us today as we bring you one of our best broadcasts from 2018. Throughout the month of December, we'll be highlighting our most listened to shows, along with some of Dr. Dobson's hand-picked favorites. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this popular program from this past year.
Today on Family Talk.
In John chapter 13, Jesus said that his followers would be known for their love of him and their love of each other. Our love should be more forgiving, more understanding, and last longer than the love that the world offers. True transformation and healing can only happen with the love that Christ gives. You're listening to Family Talk, a radio ministry produced by the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh, and thanks for tuning in today. Today you're going to hear part two of a great conversation Dr. Dobson had with Pastor Jensen Franklin, New York Times bestselling author and lead minister at Free Chapel in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Franklin also hosts a weekly television program called Kingdom Connection. Yesterday he shared why he entered full-time ministry and explained the ways he's been blessed by God. Today, he and Dr. Dobson will explore his new book, Love Like You've Never Been Hurt. The two men will unpack love's awesome power and how to mend a broken relationship with a prodigal child. Their discussion today is the perfect blend of challenge and inspiration, so be sure to listen closely. Here now on Family Talk is part two of Dr. Dobson's interview with Pastor Jensen Franklin.
Let's plunge right in today to what we were going to talk about last time, having to do with this book, Love Like You've Never Been Hurt. This has only been out for a short period of time.
Yeah, it's been out a few months. I wrote the book because I think that there is such a need for families to be healed. To me, there's a sickness in the body of Christ. We, so many, just don't know how to make our families work. We don't know how to love one another. We know how to get along and love one another as long as we see eye to eye and have the same viewpoint, the same theology, the same standards and convictions, and everybody's in line. But what do you do when conflict comes, when betrayal comes, when hurt comes, when lies are told or things are said, and it happens between people that you love? You got to learn how to love like you've never been
hurt. Well, you say in this book that hurt is inevitable. It's the human condition.
Jesus said in Matthew 18, offenses will come. I don't care who you are. You're going to be betrayed. You're going to be stabbed in the back. You're going to be lied on. Somebody is going to disappoint you, rip you off, hurt you. And at that point, you're either going to become a bitter, angry, mean person that shuts off the love and the flow of life, or you're going to learn how to love like you've never been hurt. And it is, I believe, the number one battle of every believer at some point will be to pass the test of forgiveness.
And sometimes the people who hurt you are the ones you love the most.
Yeah, Mark Twain said that if you ever see a dog on the side of the road, mangy and starving and in bad shape, and you take it home and nurture it back to life and feed it and gets healthy and strong, that dog will never bite you. And then he went on to say, and therein lies the big difference between dog and man.
I've never heard that before.
The people that you love the most can hurt you the most.
And sometimes it's a spouse.
Right.
You're talking about reconciliation. Is that really what's the theme of this book?
Yeah.
It is forgiving and reconciling with someone who has torn a hole in your heart.
Yeah, and I think the thing that I really wanted to share in the book is there's no magic wand. There's no quick fix. We want to go to church and hear a message and get a miracle and all this stuff is over. But when a family's really been ripped to pieces, when something has happened that is so heavy that your family is in shambles, it doesn't just necessarily come instantly. And there are things that happen, Dr. Dobson, that change everything. One day in your family can change everything. Yeah. But God can make all things new, and He can bring restoration and give a brand new beginning.
Now, you have a huge church in Atlanta, and in fact, you have seven churches in Georgia and South Carolina, and then you have one in California. You're all over the place. I wonder if you have time to counsel people about things like this.
I don't anymore. I did for many years when I first started. But as a pastor and just as a father, you know, I have five kids. My wife and I have been married 30 years. We had four teenagers in our home at one time and still have one. And I'm still alive and still sane. We had a picture-perfect family, I guess you would say. I mean, we weren't perfect, but everything was just kind of beautiful and wonderful. And my oldest daughter went off to college. And it's kind of the same old story, you know, got around the wrong people. One thing led to another. And before we knew it, we had a crisis like we never dreamed, that I never in my wildest dreams thought that I would deal with in my home. And I'll never forget the Sunday my wife came into my office and she said, "I didn't sleep at all last night. Jensen, I'm going to get our daughter from college." She was 3 hours away, and said, "What are you going to do?" And I said, "Well, I've got another pastor. I'm going to let him preach. I'm going with you." And we took off, and we got our daughter. We didn't even get her stuff from her dorm. She was just living the party life. It was deeper and deeper and deeper. And we packed her up. She broke. She cried. She wanted to come home. We cried a lot and talked a lot. We took her car. We cut her off from her bad friends, all the things that you do. Make a long story short, our home became a combat zone for about a year, it felt like. It felt like we were in a war zone.
There's no pain like that.
Oh, she ran away, and we had a week of, we didn't know where she was. My wife curled up on the couch, and the amazing thing, this went on for about a year of everything you can imagine almost. And then it began to affect the siblings. It began to, the dynamic of our home. And here I am at the same time, Dr. Dobson, our ministry was exploding. I got a call, and TBN and some of these Christian networks wanted my show. They said, "We'll show it free if you'll just do it." And then I did, and I got all of this going on. The churches are growing, thousands of people. But at home, it felt like I didn't know what to do. I couldn't fix this problem. I didn't know how to heal my own family, and it was getting deeper and deeper, and I didn't feel like I had anybody I could turn to. And I thankfully reached out.
A pastor can't go to his parishioners, if you will, the church members, and
I was ashamed. I was ashamed. And so my wife and I, when we wrote this book, we decided to remove the ministerial front. It's funny. Sometimes when I preach, people will come to me after the service, and they'll say sometimes things like, "Pastor, I'm going through something, and I know you can't relate to this." Yeah. You know, like we don't live real lives. Like, what we do is just get behind a microphone, and everything's beautiful in our lives. And I think what we wanted to do with this book is show people it's all right, and it's normal almost to go through crisis in your family, deep, deep trouble. And when some kind of addiction or problem comes to your house, it changes everything. Then me and my wife, you know, we wouldn't agree always on the discipline of the children and how to deal with it. And that caused us to have friction. And I can remember, you know, one particular Sunday being on my knees thinking it had just been one thing after another. And maybe people listening to me right now, you know, you're driving in your car, whatever, and you're saying, you know, what, nobody understands, are we going to make it? And I was having one of those weeks, and I just didn't know what to do. And I got on my knees, and I said, "God, I don't feel worthy to get up and preach to thousands of people, and I can't even get my life together, my own family together." And I cried, and I was weeping, and the Lord just felt like He put His arms around me, and He said, "You're not a failure. You're a good father. You've done everything you know to do to raise your children right. This is a season." And He gave me a scripture in Jeremiah that said, "Your children shall return from the land of the enemy, the land of bondage." It's in Jeremiah 31. And He said, "Your children will come back from the land of bondage and the enemy. And it was originally given in, you know, to the children of Israel in Babylonian captivity. And I held on to that word, and I would get up and preach. But to make a long story short, you know, she had run away, and she sent a text, actually, and said, "I'm married." And it broke my heart. It broke my wife's heart. We went through a tough season there. We had to start making decisions, you know, to reach out, to love again, to call again, to have that young man at my dinner table that, you know, had taken her off and all of this. And to make a long story short, little by little, God began to restore. That daughter is now fully on fire for Jesus Christ. She works full-time in a ministry in a church as the media director in Atlanta, Georgia, of a mega church, another mega church. Her and her husband, he's a graphic artist. They're doing amazing. All my kids are loving God in the ministry, serving the Lord. And I just want to encourage somebody today. See, the thing that I battled with Dr. Dobson is, how do you respond to a child when they're doing everything that you've taught them not to, that it so goes against who you are and the Christian values that you have? And the answer came to me, and that's why I wrote that book, Love Like You've Never Been Hurt. Love. Love will never fail. It's never wrong to love. It's never lowering your standards to love. It's never breaking your convictions to love. Love is the answer.
Jensen, I don't know exactly how to put this into words except to say that what you just did with the disclosure that you just made, it's not easy for a minister who's been blessed and he's been followed and influential all around the world. For you to open up and tell that story is one of the most precious moments in this entire year on the radio, because we're talking to people who are driving down the freeway in a car, and they're trying to serve the Lord, and they've tried to do the best job they could. They're not perfect, but the very fact that they see their own imperfection means there's terrific guilt when something like this happens. And Satan comes and says, "Yeah, look at you. Yeah, you talk about the Lord, and you don't even live it." I can't describe it except to say that we have connected in this moment with many, many people who are in agony right now over something similar to what you've talked about.
I had an older minister, he was 80 years old, that I trusted. And I would call him, and he would walk me through this. He's gone on to be with the Lord. He told me something that I feel like I'm supposed to share with your listeners right now that I'll never forget. When I was low and I told him, maybe I ought to just resign the church. Maybe I ought to just take a sabbatical, get my family together, you know. And he said something to me I'll never forget. He said, "Jensen, God had two children and raised them in the perfect environment. And he spent quality time with them because he walked in the cool of the day every day in the Garden of Eden." And he said, "Both of them messed up, but he didn't resign from being God, and you're not going to resign from being pastor."
Oh, that's so wise.
And boy, it made me feel like I could go out and whip a pack of lions.
Yeah.
And it strengthened my soul and my spirit. And I don't know who's listening to me today, but I just want to tell you that your children, I don't care how deep they're in addiction, I don't care how messed up it is, don't you ever stop praying and don't you ever stop reaching. You know, I had to reach a point, we had to reach a point that we said, "I may not agree with how you're living, but you're mine. And I love you. I want to eat a meal with you. I want to talk to you. I want to be on the phone with you. I want to hear from you. I will not let you not let me be in your life. I'm going to be in your life. I don't agree with what you're doing. I'm not going to fund what you're doing. But that doesn't mean that I don't want you in my house and in my life." And boy, when we kind of
natural inclination is to strike out against those that have embarrassed you and hurt you and wounded you.
That's it.
And it's to reject them. But the truth of the matter is they never needed your love more than they needed a moment like
that. See, I didn't get that, Dr. Dobson. I'm ashamed to say it. It breaks my heart because I thought that my hardness, that the wrath of man would produce the righteousness of God. And it never does. only love. Love never fails. It may take a week. It may take a month. It may take a year. In our case, about 3 years. It may take a lifetime. But love will never fail. The seed of love will produce a harvest in that child's life if you'll keep on loving him. What do you do with a child if they come to you? I haven't known this, but I feel for people, and I'm a pastor. I deal with these issues. I have people come to me, my child has told me they're gay. What do I do? Do you just cut them off? Do you just, I'm done with you? My God is so offended at the way you're living, I'm done with you? No, you love that child. You don't agree with it. Listen, sin is sin. But we don't have the right to be mean to people. The Bible never tells us to be mean and angry. It tells us to love even more in those times. And that's what God did for us. When we were estranged, when we were lost, when we had no moral compass, He loved us. And He loved us like we had never hurt Him. That's what Christ did on the cross. And that's what we're called to do for our own flesh and blood.
You know, I'm sure a church as large as the one you minister to has a lot of people who are gay or lesbian or into other kinds of sin. And if you got them dead honest with you, they would tell you that they have been hurt. Most of them have.
Right.
By their peers who have called them names,
right,
by the parents who haven't understood them and haven't reacted. Now, please, I want everybody to understand we're not condoning that lifestyle. I mean, the Bible is very
absolutely
clear. I don't care whether people like it or not. It's there, and it's sin. But it's no worse sin than a single person who's sleeping around. You know, and in fact, that bothers me about when ministers say, you're born that way, and so God understands.
Yeah.
I don't believe that.
Yeah.
You have to tell it like it is. You have to follow the word. But you don't have to be mean to people, and you don't have to reject them, and you can go on loving them. And that's what you're talking about, isn't it?
It is. You know, Dr. Graham, one of his famous quotes, I know you were, I think you were at the funeral. I was at his funeral,
yeah.
And I was so honored to be there. But they mentioned, or somebody did in one of the meetings there, that one of his most famous quotes was, we're to let God judge, we're to love, and let God judge, and let the Holy Spirit convict. And,
yeah,
you know, that's the thing. You know, let the Holy Spirit do His work, but the way that we reach them is to love them.
You remember during that funeral, what I considered to be the most emotional moment, and it was all emotional. Billy Graham,
yeah,
and Ruth's children each spoke, and one of them was, I think it was Ruth,
yeah,
who got up and she said, I went into sin and I made many mistakes and I got into a bad marriage and it fell apart,
yeah,
and then I fell in love with somebody else and I got married and I didn't think my family would ever have anything to do with me again, and I felt so sinful and so saturated by not only sin but my stupidity. I'm paraphrasing what she said. And then she tells about coming home to see her parents. And as she walked into the front yard, Billy Graham came out and he opened his arms and said,
yeah,
welcome home.
You know, one of the things that we talk about in the book is where Peter came to Jesus and said, how many times did I forgive? How many times? And he said, 7 times. Is that enough, Lord? And Jesus said, 7 times 70 in a day. And I've got a line in the book that says, forgiveness is not about keeping score, it's about losing count.
That's a chapter in the
book,
in fact.
You know, we try to say, well, you know, I'm going to keep score with this person and see how they do. But forgiveness is not about keeping score, it's about losing count. And the other big thing that I'd like to say today is, sometimes it takes the worst things done to you to bring out the best in you.
Yeah.
In New Zealand, there's 40% of the birds that can't fly. They don't have wings because there's no predators on that island. And when there's no adversity, they never use the ability of their wings to fly. And a lot of times when God allows adversity to come into your life, it's to bring out the best in you. You're never going to fly and soar in your faith until you go through the adversity. That's where the wings are developed. That's where the strength, that's where you learn how to pray. That's where you learn how to use the Word of God like a sword. That's where you learn how to hold on and see your family saved.
Let's go back to a comment you made in the book, and I think we've already mentioned it, but your acknowledgement that everybody will go through hurt. There's nobody. I mean, Jesus himself, considering his hurt and rejection and pain, and the one that can hurt you the most is the one you love the most. And what do? You spend the rest of your life hating, wanting to strike back, you know, attempting to hurt the other. I think it was Dr. Arch Hart who came here to this broadcast. He said, forgiveness is giving up my right to hurt you for hurting me. Our inclination is to try to hurt that person who has hurt you. But love is what God would have us to do. He would have us love the person who has hurt you.
So
and,
powerful.
You know, I've had a little hurt in my life. It didn't come from my family, but I've had some hurt.
Yeah.
And every time it came up, and I wanted to strike back or at least give my side of the story, a little voice would say to me, "What is that to thee? Follow thou me.
Oh.
I will deal with it." And it was lifted.
Mm.
That's what the Lord wants from us when we have absolutely done wrong. Somebody has put a knife all the way through your back.
Right.
It's coming out the front, and you don't feel you can take another moment of it. Your great inclination is to go stick a knife in them, and that's not God's way. That's not what Jesus taught. And that's something that's very hard to learn.
And I think sometimes when you can justify those kinds of actions, that it makes you feel like you have a right to do it. When I think about the fact that what Christ did for us on the cross, you know, he said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." I ask a person, "Why can't you forgive this person?" And I'll never forget the answer. They said, "Because I want vengeance." And I thought that was so truthful. When the real issue of why we don't want to release a person is because we really want them to pay. But here's the thing. Vengeance is not evil. Vengeance is not wrong. God said, "Vengeance is mine." There's martyrs before the altar in heaven that are crying out, "Avenge our blood." So if vengeance is sin, then there's sin in heaven because they're asking for vengeance. The point is this. He said, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay." So when you forgive somebody, it's not like the wrong that they've done is just done away with. You relinquish it and put it in God's hands and say, "That's God's business. I'm going to let it go." And that's what I believe, you know, so many people need to hear is he's a just God.
The title of the book is Love Like You've Never Been Hurt. Wonderful title by Jensen Franklin. Charisse helped you write this
she
book,
did.
Didn't she?
Yeah. It's the only book we've ever written together.
I just now saw that.
Yeah,
is
she sure
that
did.
Right? I hope our listeners will get a copy of this because it's universal. Like we said, it's everybody. Jensen, I do feel like I've known you a long, long time, but it hadn't been that long. But I love you like a brother, and I appreciate you coming to be with us. That was a wonderful message today, and I hope it's reached out there and touched the very person who's hurting the worst and didn't think there'd ever be an answer. Blessings to you, brother. May he continue to bless your wonderful ministry.
Thank you so much, Dr. Dobson. You are loved.
We pray that you have come to understand the power of love through these two programs, but not just that. We hope they challenged you to repair broken relationships in your own life. Dr. Dobson's guest for the past couple of programs here on Family Talk has been Pastor Jensen Franklin. You can learn more about his ministry by going to drjamesdobson.org and then clicking onto the broadcast page. Once you're there, you'll find a link for his new book, Love Like You've Never Been Hurt. I'm Roger Marsh.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
You've been listening to Family Talk and one of our best of the best broadcasts from the year that was 2018. Now, before we close, I want to remind you of our matching grant that's going on right now. Here at the Dobson Family Institute, we rely on your generosity to continue fighting for families. And from now until the end of the year, every donation you make will be doubled. So $5 becomes $10, $25 becomes $50, $50 becomes $100, and so on. Now, this match is in place until we've reached our goal, so we urge you to take advantage of it right now. Learn how you can partner with us today by visiting drjamesdobson.org or by calling 877-732-6825. Thanks so much for listening today, and be sure to join us again next time for another 2018 Best Of broadcast. I'm Roger Marsh. Have a blessed day, everyone, from all of us here at Family Talk.